Lord, would you come and speak to us through these words, I ask, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. There was a Sunday school who was putting on a Christmas pageant, and as a part of that pageant included, of course, Mary and Joseph coming to the inn. And one of the boys who was cast in the production wanted to be cast as Joseph, but instead he was cast as the innkeeper. Well, he did not like that at all. He was very unhappy about it, but he didn't tell everybody else about this. He just kind of quietly stewed about it, and he plotted his revenge that he was going to carry out on the night of the performance. So the night of the performance came, and it came time for Mary and Joseph to walk across the stage and go to the inn, and so they knocked on the innkeeper's door, and he threw open the door, and he said in a gruff voice, "What do you want?" And Mary and Joseph said, "We'd like a room for the night." And with that, the innkeeper threw open the door and said, "Come on in, I'm going to give you the best room in the house." Well, little Joseph didn't know what to do. I mean, he was stunned. This didn't follow the script. And so he kind of looked around the innkeeper, and he said, "No wife of mine is going to stay in a dump like this. Come on, Mary, let's go to the barn." And with that, the production was back on track again. Well, Christmas is certainly a wonderful time. It's a time of great joy. It's a time of nostalgia for many. It's a time where we really find our hearts warmed. But that was not the case for a certain mother who was a single mother back in 1960. This single mother had been left by her abusive husband with six children, ranging in age from 3 months to 7 years. She had 75 cents in her pocket. She didn't have a job, and she was just desperate. So she finally did find a job working at a truck stop cafe. She worked the 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift, and she made 65 cents an hour plus tips. She also employed a high school girl to sleep on her couch and watch her kids while she was at work. And Christmas was approaching, and she realized that she didn't have any money to buy any presents for her kids. So she thought maybe that she would just take some of the old toys that they had previously and fix them up and wrap them up and give them as presents again. She spent time mending clothes and patching up clothes and that sort of thing, but she really was brokenhearted. I mean, she really needed a miracle. She needed somebody to come and help her in this particular situation. And that really, if you will, describes the world in which we live today. It's a world filled with poverty. It's a world filled with despair. It's a world filled with darkness. This world needed someone to come and help it. And that's exactly what God did. God came to the aid of this world. He came to the aid through a miracle, through a mother, through a manger, and through a message. And that's what I want to focus on tonight. I want to focus on these four M's of Christmas. First of all, a miracle. It was a miracle that Jesus Christ was born. He was conceived in a miraculous way in the womb of the Virgin Mary. It was a miracle how he came to this earth. In fact, the angel said this to Mary, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen, since I am a virgin?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." It was nothing short of a miracle. It was essential that Jesus be God in order to make atonement for the sins of the world, because only God can forgive sins. And so it's also important that Jesus became a man, because only by becoming a man could he fully identify with us as human beings. He is thus God and man, and a man in whom the fullness of God dwelt. He began his days in the flesh in a miraculous manner, and he lived in this world in a miraculous way. He fulfilled over 300 ancient prophecies that were written hundreds of years before he was born, many of which he had no control over. For example, the prophet Micah predicted that the Messiah would come through the town of Bethlehem, would be born in Bethlehem. And that's in fact where Jesus was born. Just one of many different prophecies that Jesus fulfilled by his coming. He also performed miraculous deeds. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He walked on water. He fed 5,000 people with just a small amount of food. He lived a miraculous life. He was sinless perfection personified. He died a miraculous death. In fact, he proclaimed before his death that no one can take it from me, and no one can, and I have the power to raise myself up again. He also achieved a miraculous resurrection. St. Paul said this in Romans chapter 1, verse 4. He, Jesus, was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. He also miraculously ascended into heaven. And yet for those of us who have come to believe in him, who put their trust in him, who have invited him into their lives, he did something even more miraculous. He gave us a new life. He's forgiven us of our sins, all of our sins, past, present, and future. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He makes us a new creature in Christ. He's taken away the old life and has given us a new life in him. He brings us into the family of God so that we become his born-again children. And he gives us eternal life. That's really miraculous if you think about what God has done for those who put their trust in him. The poor mother with a shot Chevy and no money and six kids and a low-paying job needed a miracle. She needed help, and she needed it badly. So also did mankind need that help. And God sent a miracle. And he sent that miracle through the Virgin Mary, who became a mother. Here we have a simple, unsophisticated young girl who found favor in God's eyes. By her own admission, she was not perfect, but he found in her characteristics that were totally acceptable to him. So what made Mary acceptable for God's divine purpose? Well, first of all, she was morally pure. She was a virgin. Secondly, she was humble. She called herself the handmaid of the Lord. Third, she was obedient. She said, "Be it done unto me as you have said, according to your word." She willingly accepted this gift of God. She willingly accepted this challenge from God. She willingly accepted this Savior to come to be born in her. She also was courageous. She was willing to face public censure, family abandonment, the termination of her betrothal, and perhaps even being stoned to death because she was pregnant out of wedlock. Fifth, she had faith. She believed the angel's message, and she carried out God's purpose. I'll stop and think about this young girl for a moment, this young mother. The angel called her favored one. Her cousin Elizabeth called her the one who is blessed among women. But think about the anguish of this mother that she would have to endure. C.H. King Omeg said this, "It's hard for us to understand how favored and blessed Mary was. How blessed could it have been for her to be pregnant with no human father to share the blame, in a community which regarded promiscuity in utter distaste? How favored could she have been to have a son whom her hometown folk later regarded as having gone out of his mind? How fortunate would it have been for her to watch her son be repudiated by the Jerusalem leadership as a blasphemer, and then to watch him die inch by inch on the cross? Yet here was a girl who said yes to God's will. So may we," end quote. If God were looking for a special person for a special purpose, would he be able to say of you and me, "Hail, O favored one"? We may not have the same characteristics as Mary, but we could begin to develop some of those characteristics if we begin to follow the things that she did, if we begin to live faithfully and trustingly and submit ourselves to Jesus Christ, even tonight. God performed a miracle through a mother, and later it came to pass in a manger. The angel said to the shepherds, "The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." Now let's kind of disown this whole image that many people have of this humongous manger where maybe there was kind of a pink mist and little halos over all the characters, and it was just kind of a pristine environment. It was actually a cattle trough. I mean, can you imagine laying your newborn baby down in hay covered with donkey slobber? I mean, can you imagine just the idea of putting someone, a young child down in this pungent, odorous environment filled with urine, cattle dung, and rotting hay? Instead of gentle, caring nurses, flies perhaps flew around in hordes around them. Mice probably hid in the shadows. Far from being a commodious accommodations, this place was jammed with donkeys from all those who were staying at the inn that night. Why was Christ born in a manger? Why did this happen in this way? Well, perhaps because God wanted to show that he was there for the poor, the broken, the single mothers with a beat-up Chevy and with the weight of the world on their shoulders. He came to the manger to identify with the lowly and the humble, to sit in the seat of the outcast and the forgotten. In Jerusalem, the high and the mighty were unaware of the miracle that was happening in Bethlehem, just 6.5 miles southeast of Jerusalem. They were so involved with their own agendas that they were oblivious to the arrival of God in a stable. The King of Heaven was not born in a palace, but as the Lamb of God in a stable, in a manger. A miracle, a mother, and a manger all work together to bring about a message. And what an amazing message it is. It's a message of good news. Hear again what the angel said. "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to men." So the message that came that night was a message of joy. It was a message of fear not. It was a message of good news. It was a message to all people, young and old, rich or poor, wise or foolish, learned or ignorant. It was a message of salvation. It was a message of glory to God. It was a message of peace on earth. In fact, that message can be summed up in one of the most famous passages in the New Testament. Many of you are familiar with John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." St. Paul said this in Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ." The book of Revelation talks about those who are spiritually hungry, those who are spiritually thirsty, coming to the source of that spiritual food, that spiritual drink. And that source, of course, is Jesus Christ. When a person comes to put their faith and trust in Christ, he comes to live inside of them by his Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is described as living water that wells up into salvation. So that a person who receives Christ into their life has eternal life within them. They have a home in heaven. They have their sins forgiven. All of those things happen because of the miracle of Christmas. God has sent his living word, Jesus Christ, to be his ultimate, paramount, and supreme message of love, mercy, help, and salvation. Greater than the news of Jonas Salk, discovering the antibody to polio, greater news than the end of World War II, greater news than the possible discovery of a cure for cancer, is the news that God sent to that earth, this earth, that very night. The good news of Jesus Christ. That young mother, alone and struggling, needed some word of hope. She needed help. When her shift ended that Christmas night, she left the restaurant and went out to her car. It was still dark. She noticed that there was something inside of the car. She opened the door and she discovered that there were many things inside. There was a box of clothing inside. There was a box of fruit. There was food for her cupboards. And there were toys for her kids. One of her co-workers at the restaurant had told some of the patrons about her situation. And these patrons had rallied to come to this woman's aid. She experienced a miracle that night. She experienced hope through the grace and the love of others around her. God did even more for you and me. He performed a miracle through a mother in a manger in order to deliver a wonderful message. He didn't have to choose to be lowly, but he did. He didn't have to leave heaven's glory, but he did. He didn't have to come and save us, but he did. He didn't have to suffer injustice, poverty, and rejection, but he did. He didn't have to give up himself on the cross to pay for our sins, but he did. The question is, how are you going to respond tonight to the message that comes through the manger, through this mother, and it comes in a miraculous way? How are you going to respond to that message tonight? Those of you who have responded already by making Christ the Lord of your life, the Savior of your life, you've experienced what he promises to give those who follow him. That inner peace, that inner strength, that inner joy that can only come from him. I would encourage each one of us to examine our own lives tonight to see how we might respond better to the message that we've heard this glorious Christmas night. May we pray. Father, we thank you for sending us this wonderful story, for allowing us to experience not only the miracle, not only the mother, the manger, but more importantly, the message that came through all of these things this night. Lord, I ask your blessing to be upon all your people here tonight. I pray especially for those who may not have yet experienced the freedom, the joy, the love that you have to give to them. Lord, would you allow them to come into that new relationship with you by putting their trust in your Son, Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you continue to help us throughout the coming year to learn what it means to be a true follower of that baby that was born in Bethlehem. We ask this in his name. Amen.